I'm Marta Friednauer in the KHNS Newsroom. We air news from the Upper Lynn Canal and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning. On Monday mornings, we feature NPR Business News, and on Friday evenings, we bring you the Alaska Fisheries Report. We have a wrap-up of that week's local news on Saturday's Lynn Canal Weekend, and you can listen to your news on your time and anytime by going to khns.org. Thanks for listening. It's no surprise, but Alaska has some of the slowest internet speeds in the country. And the 31st annual Klondike Road Relay has a record field getting ready for Friday's race. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Alaska Marine Highway System captains and deck officers have avoided a strike that could have shut down the ferry system across the state over the Labor Day weekend. Instead, the International Organization of Master Mates and Pilots will return to the bargaining table with state officials. Earlier this month, the union rejected a tentative contract agreement that included no pay increase this year, a 1% raise next year, and a 2% increase in 2016. The union asked the state to reopen negotiations or members would have gone on strike Saturday. Union Representative Ron Brissett says the proposed wage increase does not go far enough and will force members to continue working overtime.
They have to man the ships, and they just don't have adequate personnel to do that anymore. So one of the concerns is that they have to look at paying the deck officers enough and paying them an industry standard wage in order to recruit and retain new deck officers as well as keep the deck officers that they currently have.
Administration Commissioner Curtis Thayer says Alaska Marine Highway workers are already well compensated and the state needs to shrink the agency's growing budget.
They're in line with what has been accepted with the other bargaining units across the state. The wages are the same. The state is in a fiscal situation where we don't have a lot of money to give.
Both sides have signed an agreement to reopen negotiations as soon as possible with a federal mediator. If mediation fails, language in the agreement says either party could declare an impasse, setting up binding arbitration. Master, Mates, and Pilots represents about 100 licensed captains and deck officers. The largest union for state ferry workers agreed last week to a contract similar to the one rejected by MMP. The Inland Boatmen's Union of the Pacific represents about 650 Alaska Marine Highway employees. A third ferry workers union, the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association, has yet to vote on its tentative contract agreement. Alaska's internet speeds are up 33% from last year, but that's still faster than only one other state in the union, and that's Arkansas, according to a pending study. In our communities, internet service is available, but it's still lacking compared to many. It's not unused, however. The Haines Comprehensive Plan showed that 11% of households have some income from internet-based sales of goods and services. In terms of benefits and barriers for businesses operating in Haines, access to high-speed internet was seen as both a benefit and barrier equally. And improving internet service and speeds is also identified as an action item in the comprehensive plan. For the first quarter of 2014, Alaska had the slowest internet in the U.S. That's according to Akamai Technologies, an internet content delivery company based in Massachusetts. Sarah Yu of Station KTOO has more on the statewide study.
Alaska's internet is about half as fast as the top three states. Akamai's studies and rankings are based off of actual content, such as websites and videos, delivered to the users from their servers. David Belson wrote the study. He's Senior Director of Industry and Data Intelligence at Akamai.
The speeds that we do see, even in the slower states, are still pretty good.
The United States ranked 12th globally in internet speeds, with an average of 10 megabits per second. Libya had the slowest internet speed worldwide, with an average of half a megabit. Economy, population density, and geography play a large part in how fast local internet is.
If you can bring high-speed connectivity to a city and you can hit a large percentage of the population there, that's a good thing. But if you have to be running it, you know, along roads and you know, over hills and across rivers, and that all gets really expensive.
GCI and Alaska Communications are Alaska's largest internet providers. They had to run fiber optic cable underwater more than 1,000 miles from Anchorage to the lower 48. Hannah Blankenship is an ACS spokeswoman.
We're more similar to an international carrier that's connecting continents rather than a lower 48 provider that is connecting on land.
She says Alaska's large landmass and low population contributes to slower speeds. Communities off the road get internet via satellite, which is slower than cables and fiber. David Morris, a GCI vice president, says sometimes large organizations, such as the state of Alaska, hospitals, or schools, will pay to build infrastructure for faster internet. For example, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation used USDA Rural Development grant funding to upgrade 65 rural communities in southwest Alaska from satellite internet to GCI's land-based network. That meant paying for a combination of line-of-sight microwave dish relays and fiber-optic cables. The healthcare provider needed faster internet to keep up with changes in a federal health privacy law. The changes limited certain healthcare communications, but allowed for specific types of video conferencing.
You've got the village health clinic that is connected to a regional hospital. And then, in turn, those hospitals are connected into Anchorage as well as to lower 48 hospitals.
Once the infrastructure was there, the internet provider could offer faster internet to locals. GCI itself has spent $150 million to improve internet in rural communities, in addition to having a $44 million grant and a $44 million loan in federal broadband stimulus funding. ACS just announced it will offer 30 and 50 megabit per second home internet for Anchorage residents, and GCI is in the process of making 1 gigabit per second internet connections available to residents in Anchorage. Akamai Technologies' next study is due out this month. In Juneau, I'm Sarah Yu.
Haynes internet providers range in options with an 8 megabyte package, the closest to the state average, costing about $160 a month. Most packages from AT&T, HughesNet, and Starband are between 1 and 4 megabytes. We've put a link to the study on our KHNS News webpage with this report. If the temperatures and waning sunlight haven't already tipped you off that autumn is nearly here, this weekend is the last big sporting event of the summer in the area. That's the Klondike Road Relay. And it'll be the biggest group of participants yet for the race's 31st year. That's according to Kevin Patterson, events coordinator with Sport Yukon.
It's 181 teams this year, which is, I think, well, definitely, I think 18 to 20 more than our record we had in 1998.
The race begins Friday evening at 6 o'clock in Skagway as teams take off for the 108 miles to Whitehorse. Racers begin finishing Saturday afternoon at Rotary Peace Park on the banks of the Yukon River in Whitehorse, with awards at about 5 p.m. New at the finish line this year, a beer garden.
Well, the finish line has a beer garden set up this year at Rotary Park, so when people are done running overnight, they can be exhausted while enjoying a beer.
There are several race categories. Teams of runners can be made up of all women or all men, or mixed, or different age groups. There are also walking and youth teams that join the race at Carcross on Saturday morning. There are two new categories open this year on different ends of the athletic scale, an 8-person walking team category and an ultra category. 4 men, including one from Chicago, are registered to run the entire race.
Yeah, we have 4 people that are running the entire distance of the race, which is crazy.
Weather for the race is forecasted to be much like it has been, cloudy with rain likely overnight Friday along Tai Inlet and the Klondike Highway, with lows in the high 40s. For more information on the Klondike Road Relay preparations and results when they come in, check out the Road Relay's Facebook page. KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Sarah Yu and Casey Kelly for help with this report. Don't forget, you can visit our news section online at our new KHNS.org website anytime. We also post breaking news and important announcements on our KHNS FM Facebook page, so make sure you follow us there. And we're always open to your comments and story ideas, so drop us a line at news@khns.org. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website at khns.org under Community for our guidelines. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Everyone has an opinion, and you can make yours heard on the KHNS listener commentary.